Today's reading is from the book of Genesis, chapter 28, verses 10 through 19. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. He reached a certain place and spent the night there. When the sun had set, he took one of the stones at that place and put it near his head. Then he lay down there. He dreamed and saw a raised staircase, its foundation on earth, and its top touching the sky. And God's messengers were ascending and descending on it. Suddenly the Lord was standing on it and saying, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will become like the dust of the earth. You will spread out to the west, east, north, and south. Every family of earth will be blessed because of you and your descendants. I am with you now. I will protect you everywhere you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done everything that I have promised you. When Jacob woke from his sleep, he thought to himself, the Lord is definitely in this place, but I didn't know it. He was terrified and thought, this sacred place is awesome. It's none other than God's house and the entrance to heaven. After Jacob got up early in the morning, he took the stone that he had put near his head, set it up as a sacred pillar, and poured oil on the top of it. He named that sacred place Bethel, though Luz was the city's original name.
In Seattle, one of the things I did was I worked at a women's shelter. And we had a worship service that we did on Saturday mornings because we were in a borrowed church space. And because it was a women's shelter, it was a women-only worship. Because so many women who become unhoused, a lot of it is from a relationship with a man. And so when this church was started, oh, so many years ago, that was the first thing they did. So today's sermon is going to be start out with a woman's voice and end with a woman's voice. And one thing these women just awed me with was their faith. Some would be having slept on a 3-inch cot the night before, and maybe have gotten into a fight with someone else in the shelter. Or maybe they got into a fight with the person that's checking them in at the shelter. There just were many opportunities for fights. But I had this one woman who clearly came from a middle-class background. She had been from Texas. This whole sheltering and being unhoused thing was really new to her. And she never thought she would be in this place. And it ended up, it was just a very ugly divorce in which she was on the bad financial end of it. But every night she would read her Psalms. And then she would tell me about how God was working in her life. And I would just sometimes be like, oh my gosh, that you could even still see God when you're in this moment. And as I journeyed with these women, I preached less and less, and I decided to give them time to testify during the service. Because when you're unhoused and you're in a system, you are usually at the whim of a social worker or the whim of a bureaucrat that's not having a very good day. You're going in line over here to get this done. You're going in line over here to get that done. You usually don't even have a name. It usually gets reduced down to being a number. So in a good old Christian sense, in fact, very Baptist, I must say, we would have a time of testimony. And I would just hear these women who one is telling me she lost all three of her children because she had a DUI. So of course she's going to lose her children, right? Like she got in a horrible car accident, but she, unfortunately the children didn't, but her prayer was, may I be sober one more day, right? Because she knew if she could get to sobriety, she would get housing, and then she could start working on getting her children back. These are the kind of stories the women were telling me and that they would testify about, and they would always take it back to God. They knew that that was the source of life. So, in thinking about Jacob, oh, that scoundrel. That's what we called him last week, right? Let's do a little review. We're on our last day of the series of Abraham and Sarah. So let's do a little review. Let's go back to when it was Abraham and Sarah. Remember, we had Abram and Sarai, right? And then they get together. Remember Abraham, he kind of lies about Sarah. Talk about a bad domestic relationship, right? He says, no, she's not my wife. She's my sister. Take her, Pharaoh, right? Remember that? We had all that. And then God's like, well, oh, Abram, I'm still going to try to count on you. In fact, I'm going to say that you are blessed, and I'm going to call you Abraham, and we're going to rename Sarah. So now we've got that. And then it comes time to having kids. Right? So first, Sarah can't have children. So then we say, well, Hagar, why don't you have a child? So then we have Hagar has a child, and Sarah gets mad, and like, oh my gosh, she's taking up all the time and all the attention. So we kick Hagar out, right? Ishmael, and that's the beginning of Islam for us. And then we've got Sarah is now told that she's going to get pregnant. And that we learned that's the ridiculousness of God. Remember that? Oh, God, that's ridiculous. And Sarah laughs. But what happens? She has a baby because God is ridiculous, right? And God gives us blessings when we don't even know. So now we have Sarah. Sarah has a baby. Who did she have? Excellent. Isaac. And then Isaac, he doesn't turn out to be that great of a guy, does he? No. What's he do? Isaac, well, he's kind of naive at first, right? He's willing to go with dad, right? And then Isaac has his own sons, right? And who are they? Jacob and Esau, yep. We learned about them last week, fighting, even in the womb. They don't even get along in the womb. And then they come out, and then we've got Jacob, who has now just been Jacobed. So Jacob teased Esau out of his birthright. That's what we did last week, right? But then we learned not everyone is all good, not all is all bad. We sung Wicked, remember, for the good, because we all have good and bad within us, right? Are y'all caught up, all of you that haven't been here? Catching up? Okay. And so now, who are we with again? Jacob. So now we're with Jacob. Jacob was Jacob. What does that mean, Pastor Monica? That means he wanted to marry Rachel, right? Rachel, not Rebecca. I always get those names. He wanted to marry Rachel. So then Laban says, is it Laban? Who's the dad? He says, well, you can have Rachel. Work for me for 7 years. You're going to enjoy it. You're going to love hanging it out with my household, blah, 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 blah. Then the wedding night comes, the betrothal, Jacob sleeps with who he thinks is Rachel. It's not Rachel, it's Leah, the oldest daughter. And so now, father says, well, yeah, you're going to get to be with Rachel, but after Leah, because my oldest daughter has to be protected and have a birthright. How about that for irony? Right? Jacob was a scoundrel and fooled his older brother out of his birthright. Now Jacob has been fooled out of his birthright for the papa protecting the oldest daughter. Okay, we got that? Okay, now you can rest. Bait and switch. So, in this section of the sermon, what I want you to know is none of us are this scandalous. Amen? And these folks were called by God. So just think what you can do. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. But we are called by God. and we are called to do something new and something different. Just most of the time, we're not listening. So now Jacob's been Jacobed, and he's gonna find a place now for his family, because now he's with Rachel. After 7 more years of hanging out with the family, he got to marry Rachel, and he has Rachel, or is with Rachel. And now he's actually got some time to be reflective. So he's on a long walk, because that's what you do to get from place to place. No Uber, no Lyft. And he's tired, and he lays down upon a rock. Like, it's like he got locked out of his office. And he has no time to really be distracted with anything except to be open to God. And so Jacob goes to sleep and has a dream. And he dreams that he's going up a stairway to heaven. And he learns that God is saying, Jacob, I know you've had quite the life. And in fact, I would call you one of my scoundrels. But I am. God always likes to make God's presence known in the Old Testament by saying, I am. Why are you spending so much time seeking me or wondering if I'm around? I am. I'm right here. That's all God wants of any of us, is to allow ourselves to be open to listening to God. Now, I love, again, the intelligence, the creativity of the ancient writers. It's a dream, right? How many of you have learned, like, the dreams are really what your subconscious are telling you, right? I love this. So it's saying, okay, Jacob, all that stuff's out of the way now. I'm here. You're actually allowing you, you are allowing me to come to you so I can say I am. So many people always want to, like, put a little drug trip on this. But God's the best drug ever, right? When we allow God to be present, it's kind of like these women back in Seattle. They had nobody to show off for. They had nobody to act smart with. They just, in their most vulnerable moments, on the shelter floor, at the bus stop, in the rain, I remember one in the rain selling a newspaper on a canister, but yet they could say that God is, and God is with me. So finally, Jacob, the scoundrel, hears God and knows that Jacob is blessed. So in listening to commentaries this week, I didn't even come up with it. It's one of the geeky guys back in Illinois. He said, you know, really, it's not a ladder. It's a stairway to heaven. And so then, of course, they got me thinking about stairway to heaven. Oh, look what we have here. Again, poetry. And I don't know if you've looked at this, Gary, but this is an amazing psalm, is it not? It is a psalm. It starts out with lament and then goes into praise. So those of you that did pick up one, we can study it together real quickly. Everybody thinks they know this song, don't they? You know the guitar riffs. That's what y'all know. Amen? It starts slow, and it builds, and it gets chaotic. And then we have the recorders. Now, I know all about the song. But let's look at the words. There's a lady who's sure of all the glitters of gold as she's buying a stairway to heaven. Okay, is this not Newport Beach? Costa Mesa, right? Right? She just needs to glitter. She just needs to shine. She just needs to be able to consume. She is going to find heaven by having glitter and having the best of. Amen? Ooh, she's buying her stairway to heaven. And then there's a sign on the wall. She wants to be sure, because you know sometimes words have two meanings. Ooh, oh, that's so deep, right? Right? Are you evil? Are you good? Well, yes. In a tree by the brook, there's a songbird who sings, "Sometimes all our thoughts are misgiven." Makes the psalmist wonder. There's a feeling I get when I look to the west, my spirit is crying for leaving. There's already a transition. Notice it goes from third person of talking about the woman to now talking about himself. This is psalmist stuff, right? And remember, our psalms were done in music. So now maybe you could work on doing a psalm with "To Stairway to Heaven." Okay, that's another time. Okay, so there's a feeling I get when I look to the west. He's already now thinking, I can move and be different. I can set myself free from these doldrums. In my thoughts, I've seen rings and smoke through the trees and voices of those who stand looking. And it's whispered that soon, if we all call the tune, then the piper will lead us to reason. I mean, think about when this song was written, right? Vietnam, civil rights movement, Maggie Thatcher up and coming. Ugh, okay, right? Chaos. But then there's a day that will dawn for those who stand long, and the forest will echo with laughter. Well, if that's not like God's ridiculousness, amen? Right? Do you see this trip? No drugs. Right? It's a vision. It's a vision of what can be. You don't have to be trapped by needing the glitter and the rich. You can be set free. If there's a bustle in your hedge grow, don't be alarmed now. It's just a spring clean for the May Queen. Yes, there are two paths. There are always two paths you can go, right? But it's about the long run. There's still time to change the road you're on. That's God's grace, right? How many of us go to the road towards the fair? But we can keep going. No, I don't know. I don't know if the fair is good or not. See, that's me with the bad and the good, right? There's always somewhere you can go, but you always have an option to do another path. You always have the option to do the best for you. And I love that each time they're still wondering. They don't have all the answers yet, right? Between each verse, it makes me wonder. It makes me wonder. Your head is humming and it won't go. In case you don't know, the piper's calling you to join him. And then he sings back to the lady. Dear lady, can you hear the wind blow? And do you know your stairway lies on the whispering wind? This is us being willing to listen to God. So, like I said this week, don't wait for yourself to get locked out of your office door or out of your house or out of your car. Take a moment each day and look and listen and feel for God. For God is with us. So what we're going to do today, because I honor Mike and us not getting caught up in copyright laws, we're going to hear and see and watch a version sung by a lady of Stairway to Heaven after Carry the Light. So stay tuned. Amen? The sermon continues.